And then as they finished the main course of the meal, Jesus took the final bread that was going to be consumed and the cup of redemption, and he instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion that we still celebrate even today. And according to Luke's gospel, this is when Jesus turned to his disciples and said to them, "One of you is going to betray me." And the disciples begin to argue among themselves as to who it's going to be. Is it you? Is it you? It couldn't be me, could it? I mean, I have my faults, but I'm not really that bad. And so quickly, any self-doubt that they had turned to pride. And instead of arguing over who's going to betray Jesus, they begin debating over who's going to have the best seat at the table in God's kingdom. Of course, we don't hear them talk about who's going to sit at the table. We can only assume that by Jesus' response. But we know they're arguing about who is going to be greatest. And so that makes sense in their cultural context, because mealtimes and who you ate with was a big deal. Who you decided to have a meal with reflected your stature in society. And where you sat at the table reflected your place of honor, or your age, or your value in that family or group setting. And if you were a servant, you didn't eat at the table at all. I can just picture Jesus at this point shaking his head and pausing to say, you've got it all wrong. I'm about to usher in a whole new world order, and I'm going to turn everything you think you know about greatness upside down. And you're so worried about where you're going to sit. Haven't you been watching me these past 3 years? If not, haven't you been watching me at least tonight? I sit at the seat of honor when I am among you because I am who I am. And yet I got up from the table and I took on the posture of a servant. And I washed your feet. Nothing I have done since the time that you have known me has been to gain power or greatness based on this world's system. Because my kingdom is not about that. My kingdom is about something entirely different, because the purpose of life is not about that. Greatness is a byproduct. It is not the goal. The purpose of life is to pursue God, to love God, and then in turn, to love others. Those who will be considered great in my kingdom will be those who choose to take on a posture of sacrificial service like I have done for you, and they will magnify God's love for all humankind. As you follow my example, you can be assured that you're going to be at the table and there will be a seat of honor for you. But that's really not the point, is it? Today, we might not be quite so particular about our table placement, but I would venture to say that who we eat with, where we eat, what we eat, and so on, still very much reflects who and what we value most in this world. To sacrificially serve Christ means that we willingly offer up everything we are and everything we have for God. We offer our time and our talents and our resources and even our social status for the purpose of carrying forward the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It's about helping others discover that God loves them just as much as God loves each and every one of us. And as we look at the disciples in this passage, it might be easy to assume that pride is what keeps us from serving. But sometimes it's just the opposite. Sometimes it's our shame and our brokenness that make us feel too unworthy. And I think at other times, we flip-flop between the two of those. Because, see, on one hand, deep within our very being, we know that we were formed in the image of God. And at the other end of the spectrum, we know the depth of our own depravity. But true humility is where pride and shame collide, and purity of heart and mind become what motivate us in everything that we do. A few weeks ago, as Aaron was preaching on the power of forgiveness, he shared with you our reconciliation story. And I'm not going to replay the whole story for you. If you're interested and you weren't here, you can pull it up in the archives of our sermons. But I will tell you that in the depths of that very dark place in our marriage and in our lives, I made some decisions that only compounded our pain. But thankfully, God's grace was stronger than our brokenness, and we remained married and happier for it. I will never forget the day that Aaron and I first took our marriage vows, but the day that we decided to keep those vows will always remain infinitely more sacred to me. And when I look back on that time in our lives, I believe that our journey of reconciliation actually began with a very unexpected opportunity to serve. You see, we had learned through the grapevine that the church where we were married had undergone a very traumatic change in leadership, and the contemporary service was in desperate need of some support. They needed a guitarist. So Aaron called the worship director that week, and he began serving on the praise team as their acoustic guitarist that same, just a couple days later. And that got both of us into church weekly, which was the first step. But I was still feeling extremely lost. And I was very much out of place, or at least I felt that way, because in all of my brokenness, I just didn't feel worthy enough to almost even be present. But then a few weeks later, the worship director asked if I would be willing to serve on the praise team and sing. A thought hadn't even occurred to me. Serving on that praise team changed my life. It filled me with a joy that I cannot put into words for you. And those times when we got together for practice or I was singing in worship, I felt closer to God and more at peace than any other time in the week. And so those opportunities then began to give my life purpose and meaning when I desperately needed both. And more than that, I began to start to feel like maybe there really is a place for me in God's church. We all need to know that there is a place for us in Christ's church, that our presence matters, and that we can make a difference, and that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. And it is good. When we attempt to pursue filling our purpose in life by pursuing and seeking power or stature, greatness, even when it's within the walls of our church, we will end up empty-handed every time. But when we serve out of gratitude for all that God has done, and we serve motivated by humility and trusting that everything that we do, whether it is noticed or not, is done ultimately for an audience of one who sees everything. And when we come from this place to serve in Christ's church, we discover that we not only have a place, but that God uses our service as a means of grace to bless us as we seek to bless others. What's more, the church fulfills its mission communally and corporately when the people of God, all the people of God, are actively engaged in the love of Christ in the world. When we are actively engaged in crossing cultural and linguistic and social and economic boundaries, we become the body of Christ in action. And this can only happen when we each serve in our own unique way, without worrying about whether or not anyone else is noticing for our place. In every generation, there have been those followers of Christ, the saints that have come before us who have sought to faithfully cultivate a life of sacrificial service, carrying forward Christ's mission, proclaiming the good news of God's amazing love, and welcoming others into this faith. And as we prepared to honor those 30 members within our own community who died this past year, I learned about the story of Eva Kiedert. And she died just before this 12-month period, but I learned that beyond her service as a nurse in World War II, which was profound, she and her husband were one of the first five families that started Trinity. And they were the ones who provided the financial resources and helped design this beautiful piece of artwork that has been the central focus in the worshiping community of Trinity ever since it began worshiping back on 8th Avenue. Now, I didn't get the story of how they moved that across town to get here. I'm sure that's pretty amazing, too. But I was inspired by her story, and I came and I looked at the window, and it's magnificent. We have a cross, and then spiraling out from the center is that illuminating love, and then we've got the other two crosses that are embedded in there. And I don't know if you can see, it depends on where you sit, but there is an ichthus that's woven into the pattern between the windows. And that's that Greek symbol of the fish that proclaims as well, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. It's amazing to me how stained glass artists can take those seemingly unrelated, fragmented pieces of glass and weave them together in just the right way so that they create something that becomes altogether breathtaking. And when light shines through these kinds of windows, they take on a life all their own. We're blessed with several on our campus, and they each tell a different part of our story of faith. And then when you look a little deeper at the individual pieces, and there are many in this particular work, I was reminded of Mother Teresa once said. None of us, or not all of us, can do great things, but all of us can do small things with great love. Let me read that to you again. Not all of us can do great things, but we all can do small things with great love. Each of the saints we have honored here this morning did just that. Jean Williams blessed Gainesville with his funeral ministry and his life. Bunny Campbell blessed Trinity as a charter member, a Sunday school teacher, and a faithful choir singer. Joan White assisted her husband in bringing joy and laughter to our community as they taught square dancing here for years. Titus Harper fought for racial equality in the Gainesville school system. And that's just to name a few. Even with their faults, and we all have our faults, these saints had their own unique way of illuminating God's grace for us by doing small things with great love. And by doing this, they left a lasting imprint on the lives of their family and their friends, and they shaped the character of who we are as a church, and they shape our witness in Gainesville and throughout the world. Each of us has the exact same potential to carry on the great legacy of our faith. As Methodists, we are known for being those peculiar people with warm hearts and active hands. And many of you do this so well. You serve faithfully in our children and our youth and our adult discipleship ministries. You work on our care team for visiting folks. You serve in our music department and our kitchen. You go on mission trips or financially support others to do so. You serve in our leadership committees. You're behind the scenes. You're out in front. You're everywhere. Over 100 of you ended up serving almost 2,800 children and their parents at our Great Pumpkin Harvest Festival just this past Sunday. Clearly, you get it. And each and every time you choose to lose yourself on purpose and to show up and sacrificially offer the very best that you can for Christ's church, you take up your cross and you become a window for others to not only see, but to encounter Jesus. You never know when your lesson or a visit or decorating the back of your trunk or giving a word of encouragement is going to plant a seed in someone's life that will bear untold fruit for the kingdom in years to come. And on those times when we make room for someone else to serve with us, or maybe even allow them to serve instead of us, we never know when we might be throwing them a lifeline that just becomes the catalyst they needed to mark lifelong change. It's not really about what we do. It's about why we do it. Everything Jesus did was motivated by sacrificial love. And until we meet Jesus face to face, our greatest purpose remains the same: to carry forward the mission of Christ in the world so that everyone can experience God's salvation. Our purpose is to love God and to love others and to let everyone we encounter experience that. And so I ask you, how are you losing yourself on purpose now, at this age and at this stage in your life? How are you choosing to serve in ways that create windows for others to see and encounter the greatness of God's love and His saving grace? And if you aren't serving yet, hear me now when I tell you, there is room here for you. And there is room here at this table, where each and every time that we gather not only with Christ who is present with us, but with that great cloud of witnesses who has come before us, and they are cheering us onward in our pursuit of proclaiming the great mystery that Christ has died, and Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. I believe that when we come to the table, it is an opportunity every time we embrace this sacrament to be at a place where the veil between heaven and earth is at its thinnest. And so we are there with Christ and His disciples as He took the bread and He broke it and He gave thanks to God and He said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And He took that cup of redemption and He gave thanks to the Father. And He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is being poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and on this juice, that they may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that they may nourish us so that as we leave your table today, we are strengthened to serve you in every place that you take us, and in every opportunity that we have to be a window for others to see you and encounter your amazing love. Lord, we give you thanks for all of the saints who have come before us and are now in heaven with you. Thank you for their witness and the ways that they have illuminated you to us. May we be strengthened to carry on this great legacy of our faith. and we confess our pride. Don't let our pride keep us from serving you, Lord. We surrender it now to you. And we acknowledge our weakness and our brokenness that sometimes makes us feel unworthy. Help us in you to serve you with true humility for your glory and for the mission of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're going to be serving communion with us, I'd like to invite you forward now and we'll bring those elements to you. United Methodist Church, everyone is welcome to come and receive communion. You do not have to be a member of this church or a member of any church for that matter. You're welcome to simply come and receive what God has for you based on the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And as you come forward today, we have an opportunity to light a candle if you would like, either here or we have another station over there. If you would like to light a candle for a loved one that has passed in the last year, please feel free to do so. You're also welcome to come and kneel or to return to your seats and sing and meditate. As you come forward, we're going to ask that you exit through the right of your seats. We'll tear off a piece of bread. We'll hand it to you. You can dip it into the cup and eat it. The method of intinction. And today, being All Saints Sunday, I'm going to encourage you to imagine all of our saints as they're listed on the screen or those in your life who have influenced you. They are here with us. So I'm going to imagine that as that bread is given to you and you take it, or you come and you kneel or light a candle, that they are laying their hands on you and cheering you onward in service for Christ. But come, for all is ready.
since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let's stand together and join our hearts and voices in celebration as we sing just the first verse of Now Let Us Join the Savior.
And I just want to let you know that on our altar are some mementos of some of those who passed on this past year. If you'd like to come up and take a look at those, you are more than welcome to. Receive this blessing. May the God who has created you continue to be at work within you so that you may serve Christ in all that you do. And may his Spirit rest upon you and give you peace in conjunction with the communion of all the saints who are cheering you onward. So as you leave here, you may magnify God's love and proclaim the good news of salvation in Christ. Amen.